following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Happy New Year! We're thrilled about 2017 here at Emmanuel, apparently. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you are here with us this morning. We have had and we have before us a really full service. We've sung together, we've prayed, we saw a video, we've read scripture. We were going to be reminded in a drama about things, but Terry has no voice. But if you can recall mentally back a couple of weeks when she did the Christmas bells thing, you'll be reminded what Christmas is all about in drama, in your memory. And then in just a short bit, we're going to be celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And I think that is a spectacular way for us to begin 2017 together. And that we are together. That we're worshiping, we're praying, we're reading scripture, and spending time at the table together. Some of you may be wondering why I have a tiny little manger scene sitting on this table. Starting today and through the month of January and February, we're going to be doing a series entitled Living as Christmas People. Yes, I know that we are a week removed from Christmas Day. I do not have my calendar that wrong. But if we're true to the historic Christian calendar, that means that we are just now a week into the Christmas season. But more importantly, we cannot let the Christmas message leave after the Christmas season ends. So I actually have this and one other tiny little, it's just a Mary Joseph and a little baby, sitting on my desk all year. And it's for that same reason, to be reminded of Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas all year. And so you'll see this sitting here, and you can come take a look at it at some point, or come into my office and take a look at it, or whatever. But I want us to spend some time in these couple of months being reminded of what it looks like to live as Christmas people. It always kind of strikes me as wrong that almost as soon as Christmas Day passes, we are on to the next thing, the next party, the next event, the next series, the next year. I looked back at my sermon that was, I believe, December 27th or so last year, and Erica had noted when we hopped in the car, oh, it's back to normal, because the Christmas music station was no longer playing Christmas music. Like, it was that immediate. And so I believe really strongly that it's important for us to take these next several weeks to remind us what it takes to live into the love, the joy, the hope, and the peace of Christmas. I also believe it's an important opportunity to be reminded that living as Christmas people requires something of us. That we are no longer doing the intentional waiting that Advent asks us to do. That Christ has come. Our Savior is born unto us and unto all people. And so we have to look at what that means for us, really, in our everyday life. What that means for us as a church, really, in our everyday life. Last year, I shared a poem from a man named Howard Thurman. And this poem, I think, was really kind of working in me all year, even as I was preparing this fall for what I was going to preach in this series, because this idea of being Christmas people really took hold of me. So I'm going to share this poem with you again. And his poem is called The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. And so I think that this poem speaks really directly into this moment in time. The songs of Christmas are off the radio. The lights and the decorations are taken down. The shepherds and everyone else returns to work on Tuesday. And those who have traveled for the holiday are back at home, or at least on their way. And so the work of Christmas begins. A second poem of Howard Thurman's helps me to remember why this is so important, why the work of Christmas is important for our world, why being Christmas people is important. And so this one is called Waiting to be Born. Where refugees seek deliverance that never comes, and the heart consumes itself as if it would live, where children age before their time and life wears down the edges of the mind, where the old man sits with mind grown cold, while bones and sinew, blood and cell go slowly down to death, where fear companions each day's life and perfect love seems long delayed, Christmas is waiting to be born. In you, in me, in all humankind. Ours is a world, ours is a country, ours is a community and a neighborhood that needs Christmas still. They didn't need just one day of it, one day of celebration, of goodies, of cookies, of Santa. They need every day of Christmas. And so the work of Christmas begins. What does that mean? What does that mean for you, really, in your everyday life? What does that mean for us, really, in our everyday life? Erica and I have become quite enthusiastic about the musical Hamilton. Have any of you heard it? All right, homework? And admittedly, it is American history, so... You know, so I get, you know, you don't want to hear about American history. You're Canada. It's different. But it's kind of titled or sold as a hip-hop musical. It's not super hip-hoppy. It's just good music. The original cast is almost all people of color playing the founding fathers of the U.S., and so that's a unique spin on it in and of itself. But it's really about the life of Alexander Hamilton, who is one of the founding fathers of the United States. It set all kinds of records for ticket sales, Tony nominations, etc., and it's fantastic. Erica and I listened to it probably 4 times in our drive down to and back from Bakersfield, and it's like a 2-hour and 15-minute thing. So if you're going to do it, like, you got to set aside some time to listen to it, but I would really recommend it. But like many times when something kind of sparks, this has sparked for me a renewed interest in reading about the U.S. Revolutionary War and some of the characters who played major roles in it who I don't know as much about. And so right now I'm actually reading the autobiography of Alexander Hamilton that sparked this musical. And waiting on my Kindle is a biography on the Marquis de Lafayette, a French hero of the U.S. Revolution, among other things. But this renewed enthusiasm for U.S. history has had me reflecting on those beginning days when the U.S. became its own nation. And this has been the first time that I've kind of begun to put together the immense effort that was required to build this new nation. Because when you're reading about it, you know, when you're in school, you just sort of like, it's almost like blocks. Like this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. It's not people that are involved in it. It's just events and dates that you have to memorize that you don't memorize and then you do poorly on the test because you didn't memorize. And so I'm being introduced to these new Revolutionary War heroes and the fathers of the revolution, fathers of the U.S. government, as real people, not these totally kind of distant superheroes as they're talked about in the U.S. often, but living, breathing human beings. And these human beings went through some real struggles. It was difficult and at times felt near impossible for them. And there's one moment in the musical that I really believe kind of communicates the truth of that period. Alexander Hamilton is trying to introduce an economic system that he is having trouble passing by some of the members of the cabinet and the Congress. And so President George Washington pulls him aside and tells Hamilton that he has to do the work to get these votes passed, that this is what you have to do, otherwise they may call for your removal. Hamilton argues a bit, and then he kind of laments the difficulty of this task ahead of him, trying to get people to do what Hamilton, you know, of course, knows is the right thing to do. And in the words of the musical, Hamilton, George Washington says, "Winning was easy, young man. Governing's harder." Winning was easy, young man. Governing's harder. Celebrating Christmas Day is easy, folks. It's easy to celebrate Christmas. There are trees, there are lights, and now there's snow. It's all around us. It's easy to celebrate Christmas. Living as Christmas people is harder. Doing the work of Christmas is harder. But that's exactly what we are called to do. That's exactly what we are going to spend these weeks working at together. The hard work of living as Christmas people. I want to take just a brief look at kind of the first text that I want to get into. The first, here's what we're going to be working towards in this series. There won't be quite the same introduction every single week. But I do want to get into Isaiah just a little bit. So you heard Psalm 148 read earlier this morning, right? The theme there was praise. All throughout, it was praise. It was praise the Lord. It was a song of praise. It was praising the Lord for everything, praising the Lord in everything. It is a call for all of creation in heaven and on earth to praise the Lord. It is a call to declare praise for who the Lord is. It's really quite a simple psalm, and that simplicity is really beautiful and really elegant. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all people, all creatures, all weather, oceans, mountains, stars, sun, moon, angels. Praise the Lord. And the last couple of verses in Psalm 148 give us that little bit more depth, a look at our belonging. It says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn. The praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord." I think it's really important to note that all of the praise that we read about before that comes before any sort of because statement. We read 12 verses of praising the Lord. And then in the final two, we are reminded that God's faithful servants are indeed close to the Lord's heart and that God has acted in strength for his people. Living as Christmas people means declaring praise for the Lord before any because. And that's the difficult part. It's easy to declare praise for the Lord after something great has happened to us, right? That's the easy bit. But Psalm 148 reminds us that we praise the Lord before we see any because statement. It's much more difficult to begin with praise in every situation. We're also going to take a look at Isaiah 63, verses 7 to 9. "I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and his many kindnesses. He said, 'Surely they are my people, children who will be true to me.' And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old." Isaiah here again calls us to praise. But this is praise that comes after. This is praise that comes after the because statements. And we cannot ignore the importance of that either. We hear in Isaiah the amazing things that the Lord has done for Israel. And Isaiah praises the Lord for it and calls others to praise the Lord as well. We will have times daily when we will have cause to praise the Lord. And we need to take those opportunities to praise the Lord. Living as Christmas people, doing the hard work of Christmas, begins with recognizing who it is we belong to. Who it is that we are working on behalf of. The Lord our God, the creator of the universe. The one who holds us close to his heart. The one who sent his son to us, for us, to be with us. And that's the piece that makes what we read in Psalm 148 that bit easier. We do have a because statement. We have Jesus. There's no need to wait for anything greater than that. Nothing greater than that can or will come, because Jesus is the ultimate because statement for us to praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord before you recognize all he has done and is doing, and praise the Lord once you have recognized it. Praise the Lord in all things. Let us begin this season of living as Christmas people, praising the Lord. Lord God, we praise you. We lift up your name alone. We recognize that your splendor is greater than anything here on earth, greater than anything in the universe. We thank you, O Lord, for sending your Son to us, for us, to be with us. We praise you, Lord, for the hope that you have in us, and we pray that in this Christmas season we will learn and grow in what it looks like to live as Christmas people, doing the hard work of Christmas. And we pray this all in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.